Hey there, I'm Chris. Thanks for joining us today. If this is your first time at Black Hawk, we are so glad you're here. We are one church in three locations, and we want to work together for the good of our city, leading with the love of Jesus. We hope that this is a place you'll find connection both with God and others. New here, head to our website and say hi on our I'm New page or stop at Connection Point at your site for a welcome card. Every year around the Christmas season, we participate in Advent Conspiracy, our community's annual initiative to move away from the consumerism of Christmas and back towards the gift of Jesus and the real story of Advent. We encourage everyone who can to give, and then we'll give it all away. All the money received for Advent Conspiracy goes outside the walls of Black Hawk to support organizations doing great work in our city and in our world. To learn about all the organizations we're partnering with this year, visit our website. You can give to Advent Conspiracy in the offering boxes at your site or online until the end of the year. Christmas at Black Hawk starts this Wednesday, December 22nd. And with that in mind, we want to share a few reminders. First, if you've been looking for an opportunity to invite friends, family, or neighbors, it's not too late. Think about who in your life might appreciate a personal invitation and pick up a Christmas invite on your way out or share one of our Facebook events. Second, if you haven't RSVP'd or signed up to serve, please do so on the Christmas page of our website. We are so excited to see how God will use these services to reach our community with the hope of Jesus. Then, on Sunday, December 26th, there will be no services at any site as we give our many volunteers time to be with their families. Instead, visit our website to join us online for worship where you are as we look toward the coming year. To learn more, visit the What's Happening page on our website. If you'd like to share a prayer request, get more information about our ministries, or find out how to start serving, stop by Connection Point on your way out today or connect with us online. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, good morning. Good morning to everyone watching online and, of course, those in the room with us. My name's Chris. I'm one of the pastors here. We're going to spend some time worshiping together in just a moment, especially if you're here in the room with us. No, your eyes are not deceiving you. The video is a little bit glitchy. The software that we use is having some technical difficulties, so thanks for bearing with us with that. But, hey, I can't believe that we're 6 days from Christmas, so hopefully Christmas shopping is mostly done and you guys are prepared for that. Not to add to your anxiety in this moment if you're not, but let's begin our time by just singing a couple Christmas carols together, worshiping the God who is here and present and at work in our lives. So would you stand with us if you're able and join us in singing.
Joyful and triumphant.
restore him.
Church calendar all around the world. Today is the fourth Sunday of the season of Advent. And the word Advent simply means coming. And in the Advent season, it's a time for us to refocus ourselves and wait expectantly for the coming of Jesus to this world as an infant and what God has already done through that event. But this season is also a time for us to wait expectantly and look forward to the time when Jesus will return again and his kingdom of love and peace will reign on this world forever. And that's what we look forward to. So since the 16th century, the church has been practicing this tradition of lighting a candle on the Advent wreath. And this fourth Sunday of Advent, we're gonna light the third purple candle, which represents love. God's love for us, his immense love for us. And he sent his son Jesus because of it. And today, let's focus on that. Hear these words from John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Well, let's continue in worship of this God who loves us and brings peace to our lives. Let's sing this next song together.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought now had the day belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Sing peace on earth.
Peace on earth, goodwill to bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
All right, this next part's my favorite part. Let's sing it out.
And peal the bells more loud and God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Sing peace on earth.
Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Oh, hear the I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
God, we come this morning, and I'm fully aware that for myself and for many of us, we come just having things on our minds and on our hearts that we're thinking about and that we're dealing with, and maybe that sentiment rings true. God, there is no peace on earth. But today is a reminder, and in 6 days, it's a reminder, God, that you are here and that you're present, that you are not dead, that you're not asleep, that you are alive and well and at work in our lives. So thanks for that reminder and the gift of Jesus, and that we get to be here and to worship you and to experience you this morning. So God, draw near to us. Holy Spirit, would you have your way in our hearts and minds, whether we're watching online or we're here in the room. Would you speak powerfully through your word and change us and form us into the people that you created us to be. We love you, and all of us pray together in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Welcome again to Black Hawk Church. My name is Carol, and it is great to be able to gather together here in this room and online to worship and celebrate together. 56ers, you can head out for your programming. Have a great time, and the rest of you can go ahead and have a seat. Well, hopefully it wasn't a spoiler alert a little earlier when Chris mentioned it's Christmas this week. Actually, it's very exciting. It's Christmas this week, and it's also exciting because that means it's time for Christmas at Black Hawk, which is one of our favorite services around here, and we really hope that you will join us. We're going to have Christmas services at all three of our sites and online, and so you can choose where you'd like to go, but for a second, we'd like to show you the information for the Christmas services right here at Brader Way, so you can see those up on the screen. And Christmas services are a great time and opportunity to invite others. We want to share what Christmas is truly about. So services are a great time to invite your family members and your friends, your neighbors, whoever. All are welcome to join us. And to invite them, if you would like, we have cards, these little cards out on the table, tables in the atrium. You can grab one of those and send or give somebody an invite. Or you can also share our Facebook events. That's another way to do that. But we do hope to see many people here as we get to celebrate that together and share the love of Jesus. And then also, if you're on our website looking at Christmas times, you'll see that there are actually a lot of great opportunities to serve at the Christmas services. So we hope that you'll hop on there and take a look at those and see if one of those would be a good fit for you as well. So we hope that you join us for Christmas services this week. And then Sunday, right after Christmas, I want to tell you a little bit about the next two Sundays. The next Sunday is December 26th. And we will not have any in-person services at any of our sites. However, we do want to invite you to jump online and join us for what we call worship where you are. So whether you are on your couch in your home in the Madison area or in a cabana in the Caribbean, take me with you. I will be in my house. Wherever you are, you can join us for worship where you are. It's a short time of worship and then a message from Matt. And we do that all together online. Make sure you do not show up to a site next Sunday or you will be greatly disappointed. However, the following Sunday is January 2nd, 2022. Can you guys believe that? I'm still kind of in shock. Brand new year, and we're also going to start a brand new service. So on January 2nd, we will start in person again at all of our three sites and online. New series, new year. You're not going to want to miss us, so make sure you join us for that. So now let's go ahead and send it to Michael as he shares today's message with us.
Thank you. Well, hey, Blackhawk, it's so great to be with you today. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, my name is Michael, and I'm the college age and 20s, 30s pastor here at Blackhawk Church. And just really quick, I want to do a shout out to last night women's volleyball for Wisconsin. Are you kidding me? National champions. Oh my goodness. That is awesome. Congratulations, volleyball team. It's been a great season, so we're pumped for that. Okay, so, hey, I want to take some time to welcome everyone. Welcome everyone in the room right now. Everyone online, welcome. If you're listening to the podcast, glad you're listening. Everyone in Gospel Fusion, Traditions, Downtown, what's up? Fitchburg, glad that you're with us. Okay, and to the Chinese speakers, Dijon Jie, Mei Ping An, and to the Spanish speakers, Bienvenidos a Blackhawk. We are just so glad that you're here. I am excited for today. My coffee's kicked in, and I might be moving a little bit, so I'll try to focus and pace. That's awesome. Okay, so we have been journeying through the book of Acts for quite a while now, and this week is the last week. We're in the second part of Acts, and in this part of Acts, we've been talking about how we can go to the ends of the earth. We've been looking at how different people have shared the message with Jesus in the book of Acts and how we can be influenced by how they have shared the message of Jesus. And I just want to hit the pause button really quick and just ask, like, how's that going? How has sharing the message of Jesus been going for you, whether it's just in general or the past 5 weeks? Because I want to be honest about that. Sharing the message of Jesus, especially with people that I don't really know, it's really challenging for me. It can feel really vulnerable. I can wonder if, you know, people like me. Like, I want people to like me. Are they going to like me if I'm like, hey, do you know who Jesus is? And if you like share in any of that, I want to say join the club. And I'm a pastor, so there you go. But honestly, the past 5 weeks have been really helpful for me. They've given me tools. I hope that it's been helpful for you as well. And hey, today we're finishing up Acts. And today we find ourselves in Acts chapter 17. So Acts chapter 17, Paul is in Athens. And Paul honestly never expected to be in Athens. It was not a part of his plan. You see, Paul, before he was in Athens, he was separated from his companions, Silas and Timothy. So Paul is now waiting in Athens to be reunited with them. Now let's talk about Athens. Athens was this just like center, this hub for just like political and higher thought. And Athens has influence, like back then it influenced a lot. And today we still can just feel the influence of Athens in a lot of different ways. One of which is theater. I like theater. I did theater when I was younger in school, and theater has really, really deep roots in Athens. And because of that, because of those roots, to just kind of help us all get in the mindset of Athens and really just to make the Bible come alive, we're going to do something a little bit different. I've invited a friend of Blackhawk who is a Blackhawker. He's also an actor, to actually come here and do a theatrical performance of our passage today, of Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 34. His name is Phil Evans, and I'm excited for Phil to be here. So would you all join me in welcoming Phil? All right.
Good morning. I'd like to invite you to worship this morning with me around God's word by doing three things. First, if you have your Bible open or your Bible app, close it. Thank you. Second, I'd like you to open your ears and your eyes to a telling of God's word. And third, I'd like you to join in. I'd like you to respond when I'm done. I will say the word of the Lord, and you respond by saying, thanks be to God. And this is for everyone in the room, all sites, all venues, and those of you who are streaming this at home. I'll say the word of the Lord, you respond, thanks be to God. Great. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath, and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they might seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think of the divine being as like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He's given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. But others said, "We would like to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysus, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Wow, will you join me in thanking Phil? Wow, that was awesome. So now we're in Athens right now, everyone. That was cool. Okay, that was honestly probably the best narrative acting on that passage I've ever seen. Also, it's the only one, but it was really, really, really good. And honestly, it's such an interesting passage, right? There's a lot of interesting things going on here. So now I want to say something to everyone listening right now, whether you're Christian or you're not a Christian, about what Paul's saying. And it's actually really important, so listen up. Paul does not do a good job talking about who Jesus is, explaining the gospel. He just doesn't. I mean, Phil did a good job narrative acting. Paul explaining Jesus, I don't know if he didn't do that good of a job. I mean, the gospel has been presented in the Bible in far better ways than that. Paul himself, he has actually done a far better job talking about who Jesus is. I mean, people, he didn't even talk about the cross. I mean, you have to talk about the cross. So what on earth is Paul doing here? And what is he saying? And what are we supposed to get from this? What are we supposed to learn? One word. Posture. It's all about our posture. And Paul actually does a masterclass at this, because Paul switched his posture to meet the people of Athens where they were at, so that he can share the message of Jesus with them in a way that they could understand. You see, Paul doesn't go over their heads. Paul doesn't move away from them. Paul moves right towards them. And because of that, and how important that is, I want to focus on that for our time today, about how our posture can be influenced by Paul's posture when it comes to how we share the message of Jesus with people around us. That's what we're going to focus on today. And to kind of help with that, I want to actually go back to the beginning of our passage in Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 18, because looking at the context, I think, will be super helpful for us. Okay, so while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. All right, it starts with saying that Paul was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So what does Paul do? He's greatly distressed. He sees idols everywhere. What does Paul do? I mean, what would you do? What would you do if you're with people who don't follow Jesus, around things that don't point to Jesus, which that's pretty much all of us a lot of the times, maybe not right now, but that's kind of our interactions. What do we do? Like, what do we do? I mean, because there's actually a few temptations out there. The first temptation is to just like completely object. And in this temptation, followers of Jesus, they have this expectation that everyone that they come in contact with, whether it's like friends, neighbor, family, coworkers, classmates, people in your city, no matter who it is, followers of Jesus in this temptation kind of feel that everyone they talk to should follow the exact same biblical principles that they do, even if people don't really buy into the Bible. And the moment that people don't, man, nope, we're done. They distance. They separate themselves, leaving them with only the people that act like them, talk like them, think like them. Those are the people that they're hanging out with. So that's one temptation. Another temptation is to embrace. And this temptation is kind of the exact opposite of objecting. You see, in embracing followers of Jesus in this temptation, they have these biblical principles. This is what the Bible says. This is what Jesus is asking us to live, how he's asking us to live. But then cultural principles come right in, right? And then there's this clash, you see. The Bible is saying this, culture is saying this, and in this temptation, the biblical principles slowly stop being followed, leaving the cultural principles to be the winner. You see, culture's fully embraced, and people in this temptation, the people they're around with, are people who talk, act, and think exactly like them. Embrace, object. What's interesting is that even though a lot of us might kind of lean more towards one of these or the other, Paul doesn't lean towards either of those. You see, Paul chooses a different way. Paul chooses a different route, and it's somewhere that's kind of in the middle. You see, Paul moves towards people. He has conversations with them, like our text says, in the marketplace. That would be like you going to like a grocery store, Pick and Save or Trader Joe's, and just talking about Jesus with people, or having a conversation about Jesus at a local coffee shop or like a school cafeteria or a workplace lounge, you know, talking about Jesus. And Paul does this, but he does this while not only holding on to his convictions, but sharing them in a way where people will understand, because he's done the work for them to be able to. This is the biblical way. And it's challenging because it's holding on to our convictions while still meeting people where they're at. It's challenging. Let's keep going with the text. Let's go back. Okay. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day with those who happened to be there. All right, so the next slide. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with them. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where he said to them, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting?" Okay. So there's a couple different groups of people, words here that may or may not be familiar that I want to talk about really quick. So the Epicurean, I also just love circling this thing. It's so fun. Okay, Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. So the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, these were basically people, group of philosophers who had different ideas, different beliefs, and they would often talk about these different ideas and beliefs with each other and talk about different ideas with different people. So that's the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. And then Paul comes in and has a conversation with them. And so quickly they take Paul and bring him to the Areopagus, which not only is that just a fun thing to say, Areopagus, I like to say Areopagus, it rolls off your tongue, but it's actually like this high judicial council where they just kind of like decide who can say what. And so they bring Paul to the Areopagus, and then Paul begins to share the message of Jesus with everyone in a way that they would understand. You see, what Paul does at the Areopagus was he starts with where they were at. Not with where Paul was at, with what they're at. That was Paul's posture, to begin with them. All right. And while Paul does that, his posture, he gets to know them. You see, when Paul was there, he was a studier. He got to know who they are and what they're about, which is the first point that I want to talk about today when it comes to our posture and how we can share the message of Jesus. To start with knowing who you're talking to. All right, so for those of you who don't know me, I am originally from the West Coast. I was born a little north of Seattle, went to grad school at Fuller Seminary in Southern California. I worked at a church in the Silicon Valley for a handful of years. And then a little over 3 years ago, I moved to the Midwest. And let me tell you, when I moved to the Midwest, I quickly learned that in order to become a Midwesterner, I had to learn what being a Midwesterner was all about. Okay, if you've ever moved to the Midwest from somewhere else, you might know what I'm talking about. And I've learned a lot of things, and I want to share some of these things with you. Okay, the first thing, people, the cheese curd. Are you kidding me? I don't think I've ever tasted a cheese curd before I moved here, and I want to shout it from the rooftops. I'm a big fan of the cheese curd. And another thing that I've learned that you have to have good warm clothes when it's winter or else you'll die. You laugh, but that's a serious thing. Okay, here's the other thing, last thing that I've learned that I wanna share. So I don't know if you're aware of this or not. Some of you might be, some of you might not be, but there's this thing called the Midwestern goodbye. Okay, you might not know. I observed what the Midwestern goodbye is when I came here. Okay, so in the West Coast, when you're talking with a group of people and then it's about time to leave, this is what happens. You say goodbye, and then you leave. That's what it is. Okay, so in the Midwest, I don't know if you know about this, but when you're with a group of people, you say goodbye, and then you stay and talk for about 30 minutes. And if you're like me, you're going to the door and you're like, oh, the conversation's not done. And you're standing in the doorway for about 30 minutes and then you get to leave, which people, that's super confusing. I've messed up a lot with this. I'm still learning, but there you go. So when I moved to the Midwest, I learned that there's a lot that I need to continue to learn. And honestly, I love the Midwest. I love being here and I love learning more about what it looks like to become a Midwesterner, even if things are a bit different. Because different cultures do things differently. Different people do things differently. And Paul knew that, which is exactly why his message to the people of Athens was very, very different than any time he ever shared in the book of Acts or in the New Testament. It's very different. Let's keep reading to see how this plays out. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." Okay, let's stop right there. "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." Okay, what's interesting about this part is that Paul doesn't rebuke them, okay? Paul compliments them, which is a little subpoint that I want to make. When you're sharing the message of Jesus with people, don't be a jerk. It's okay to start with a compliment, but really, Paul's distressed. Paul goes there and he sees idols everywhere. And he is just like, what is going on with this place, with Athens? And he starts with complimenting them. You see, Paul thinks, okay, there's idols here. I want them to hear the message of Jesus. I want to say, okay, you're religious. You're very religious. Paul starts by complimenting them. And then Paul goes on. Instead of using scripture to people who don't buy into scripture, instead of talking about how Jesus fulfilled Jewish prophecy like he probably would have and he typically did to a Jewish audience, Paul gets to learn. He makes the decision to learn about what's important to them. Let's read on. "For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship." Okay, this is mid-sentence, but we're going to stop right here. I picture Paul in front of the Areopagus, and even before that, just looking at these idols. I mean, picture Paul. He doesn't move away from the idols. He moves towards them. He studies them. These idols are blasphemous, remember that. These idols are blasphemous against Jesus, against Yahweh, but Paul is deciding to become a student of them. He's reading the inscriptions, and I bet that Paul was uncomfortable. I bet you he was uncomfortable. But here's the thing. Paul made the decision to be uncomfortable so that they didn't have to when it came to hearing the message of Jesus for the first time. Now I want to ask you, have you done that before? Have you ever made the decision to become uncomfortable so that people around you could hear the message of Jesus for the first time? And if you haven't, what would that look like? Paul goes on. While Paul is studying these idols, he finds something. And he uses that to point to Jesus. The text continues. "I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" Let's stop there. Paul finds this altar, scripture, to the unknown God. And then he starts to tell the people of Athens at the Areopagus who the unknown God is. Jesus. Which leads to the next point that I want to make when it comes to our posture and sharing the message of Jesus with those around us. It's to answer the questions that people are asking, not the ones that they're not. This altar was asking a question, who is this unknown God? And Paul answers, it's Jesus. What are the questions that your city's asking? Or another way to put it is, what's important to your city? What's important to the people around you, whether you're in Dane County, somewhere in Wisconsin, somewhere in this nation, somewhere in the world, what are the questions that your city's asking, and what would it look like to answer them in a way that points to Jesus? Okay, so I live in Madison. I live just a really honestly short drive from the UW-Madison campus. And my buddy and I, we, when the weather allows it, it might be a little too cold for this West Coast guy right now, but we go on runs. And we have different routes all throughout Madison, and we even have different routes that we run on the campus. And when we go running, we honestly can't help but see that Madison and the campus are asking all sorts of questions. For example, sometimes we run up Bascom Hill. So here's a picture of Bascom Hill. I don't know if you've been here or not. It kind of looks flat. Do not be deceived, people. It's basically like this. And this is Bascom Hall. And whenever we run up it first, we're like halfway through, or more like 10 steps through, we're like, is there something seriously wrong with us? Why are we doing this? Because I like can't breathe when I walk up this thing. But we run up this hill, and sometimes there's we see different halls. There's this one hall called South Hall. And on South Hall, there's this sign that I've noticed, and I've went to it and read it, and it says this. Here's the sign. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is from the Bible. This is something literally Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is from the class of 1955. Now, I can imagine that South Hall is probably saying there's different truths out there in higher education that can learn that can set you free in different ways. Now, what would happen if Paul were alive today? I imagine if he were and he's walking up Bascom Hill. Dude's not running, he's walking because most people just walk. And he's with a group of Madisonians. He gets to South Hall, he sees the sign, he leans forward and he reads the sign. And then I can just imagine Paul affirming Madison's culture of higher education, affirming like, yeah, different truths in higher education, they can set you free in different ways, that's great. But I also can imagine Paul making this shift, right? This shift and then pointing to Jesus, which is low-hanging fruit because it's literally something Jesus said. But I can see Paul making this shift and saying how ultimate truth can only ultimately be found in Jesus. And in that, Jesus is the only one that can ultimately set you free. I can see Paul making this shift because he made this shift in the passage. See, he doesn't just stay in the getting to know the Athenians phase. No, he switches to pointing to Jesus, to answering, which is the last point that I want to make today, to shift, to sharing, to Jesus. And Paul does this all the time, all throughout this text, all throughout the New Testament, all throughout this passage. In fact, after he shifted to sharing who the unknown God is, he then shifts to point to Jesus again. After that, he said this, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." Now, this was from two secular poets, these two poems. And these two secular poets were well known back then by pretty much all of Greek society and culture. But does that mean that Paul fully buys into everything that they're saying? No, probably not. But Paul is always on the lookout to see something that's familiar and then to use that to shift to pointing to Jesus. Paul's all about that. Paul's always doing this. That's always on his mind. Which leads to the question, why? Why, Paul? I'm not like that. Why are you like that? Paul, why are you always on the lookout for something to then use it to shift to Jesus? Like, why on earth? You were just passing through Athens. You weren't even supposed to be there, but you're studying this group of people and using what you're learning to point to Jesus, even when you're uncomfortable. Paul, what's up, man? I've been in a layover in the airport. I'm not doing that. Why? Because one word, love. Love. You see, Paul loved the people of Athens, but more importantly, he knew that God loved them and he wanted them to know that. That's the reason behind all of this. That is Paul's posture. So Paul made the decision to enter into their circumstances so that they can know just that. I remember a time when I was a lot younger. I was in my house. It was high school. I was with my brother. We were downstairs. We were listening to music. And we were in this phase that was just really, really rebellious. For a long time, and especially during that time when we were listening to music, we wanted nothing to do with Jesus. We wanted nothing to do with the church. All the while, my grandmother, who was in her 80s, was upstairs, and Grandma, she just wanted nothing more than for us to know Jesus, for us to go to church. So we were listening to music, one of the songs, and my brother switched it to like a not-so-wholesome heavy metal band song, and he just like cranked the volume up. It was so loud, I could barely think, and we were just listening to this music, and then all of a sudden, footsteps going down the stairs. It was Grandma. And I thought, uh-oh. Grandma's gonna get mad at us. Grandma's gonna like tell us how disappointed she is with us, how we've been making the wrong decisions, plead with us to know Jesus, to go to church. She's definitely gonna tell us to switch the music. You see, my grandmother grew up singing in church choirs, listening to music that she or other people would say are a little more wholesome than the definitely not wholesome music that we were playing. And we were just like on edge, but still listening. The door opened. My grandmother walked through. She went towards us. Each step, she's like fighting the beat of the music because it was so loud. I'm like, oh my goodness, Grandma, sorry. And then she did the thing that I least expected her to. She didn't get mad at us. She danced. And her own little grandmother dance. Our eyes got wide and our mouths dropped. We were like, what is going on? And in the middle of this loud, heavy metal music, my grandma is just dancing and dancing. She went over to my brother and like forced made him to twirl her, you know, and she's twirling and she's dancing. And I'm like, this is so weird. This is so unexpected. This is so beautiful. You see, when my grandmother heard the type of music that we were listening to, instead of getting mad at us, instead of trying to change us, instead of making us change the music, no, she came down and loved us exactly where we were at. She danced. And to this day, I don't think I've ever seen the love of Jesus been shared with me in a more compelling way. She didn't try to reject us, which is one temptation. Object. She didn't become a heavy metal band enthusiast. She chose somewhere in the middle. Like Paul, she chose the biblical way. She loved us exactly where we are at, and I know that this might seem small, but honestly, that moment not only fundamentally shifted my view of who Jesus is, but that moment started me down a path to someday being open to the message of Jesus. And just like Paul and his listeners in Athens, I didn't buy in right there. It would take a lot of people, it would take a lot of different conversations, it would take a lot of time, but it all started with a dance. Now here's my question to you. Who are you gonna dance with? Athens. In Athens, God was unknown, yet in front of everyone. What would it look like to be like Paul and show everyone who that unknown God is? And it can start with a dance. By going down the stairs and meeting people exactly where they're at, which is exactly what Jesus did for us. Christmas is just a few days away, and on Christmas we celebrate when Jesus went down the stairs of heaven and entered our circumstances. He loved us exactly where we were at. We were sinning. We didn't want anything about God. We didn't want to know God, a lot of people, but still God went down the stairs. He met us. He loved us. He got to know us on a personal level so that we can know him on one too. So during this Christmas time, with wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, my invitation for you is to enter into someone else's circumstances, to love someone exactly where they're at, to put on your shoes, to go down the stairs, and to dance with the people around you. Let's pray. So Jesus, I pray that we can do that. Christmas is a time where there's just a lot of moving parts. It can feel like chaos. It can feel like joy. But I know in Christmas, it's an opportunity where we just will come into contact with people, whether it's shopping or going out or people in our family that either are following Jesus or not, God. And I pray that we can use every opportunity to model what Paul does in Acts chapter 17 when he is with people in Athens who don't follow you, who don't even know about you. God, I pray that you can show us what it looks like to dance, to be with, to enter into someone else's circumstances and to love them exactly where they're at, because that's exactly what you did with us, Jesus. We thank you for all that Christmas is, and I pray that we can use every situation and point to you. In your name, amen.
Well, as we continue, I thought in honor of Michael's grandma, we could do a heavy metal version of this next song. No, we're not gonna do that. But congratulations, we made it. That is the end of the Acts series. We've been hearing all about how God has been forming us as a community, and now he sends us out to the ends of the earth. So would you stand if you're able? Let's sing this song out nice and loud, that God's name would be glorified in all the earth. Let's worship him together.
Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
Let's sing this out.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Next part out nice and loud, that the whole earth would hear our praise, that God would be glorified to the ends of the earth. Let's sing together.
And all the earth will shout your praise, the hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Will cry, these bones.
Joining us today. It's been great to worship with you. You know, Christmas is such a perfect time, a great opportunity to do just what Michael was talking about, to be able to share with others the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity we can invite them to services where we'll talk about that and why God loved us so much to send his son Jesus. So you can invite people to the services, but there's so many other opportunities this week. So we just encourage you to step into the world of those folks that you're surrounded with, to share with them where they're at and love them well in doing so. That is a great opportunity that we all get to share. So Christmas this week, we can't wait to share that time with each of you. And then remember, Sunday, are you gonna come to the site? No, don't come to any of the sites, but please join us online for worship where you are. You can find that on demand or at our website or through any of the ways that you watch our messages here at Blackhawk. So as our benediction today, let's go ahead and look again at that very familiar verse that we read at the beginning of our service. It's very familiar, so oftentimes we just kind of say it. But let's think about it in the lens of this Advent season. Once again, John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God loves us so much, loves me, loves you, loves your neighbor. God loves us so much that he sent the gift of his Son, Jesus. Jesus, the light of the world, pierced the darkness, pierced into the dark world, into the dark hearts of our sin to save us. And that's what we get to celebrate together this week. We hope you'll join us. Have a great day.